Okay, so I'll just record. What were we talking about? Oh, I was going to check the Chroma spec. I can't figure out any of them that get past the TID other than...
A PCB.
PID.
PID, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. I did a search and there's no PID in the whole thing. Like the letters PID.
That would be nice, but...
Exec, yield, sleep, none of those have PIDs. Wait doesn't have a PID, just a status pointer. Oh, by the way, it turns out status is an integer, not a...
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, so I changed that.
Well, then what about TCVs? Like,
TIDs?
When you're vanishing and you're not the last thread?
Yeah.
Can't someone try to look you up while you're vanishing?
Yeah. But when do you want to look someone up for yield? There's only time they're passing in a T and cast to I run flag. The two times, right?
Yep.
At which point in time, what happens? You either get put into a queue, or you're in a queue, but if you're in a queue, then you're not in vanish, right? Oh no, you might be in a queue. In which case, it just yields to you and you finish vanishing.
I'm worried about times where you look up somebody and work with them, but their TCP's been freed or something like that.
Well, we remove it from the hash map before it's freed.
Yeah, what if they look it up, then it yields to us? Or somehow there's some sort of vanish.
Or if they're looking it up while we are removing it from the hash map, but then that's just a hash map lock. I think we should definitely lock the hash map, both maps.
If we're looking stuff up during the scheduler, I suppose I can't switch out the scheduler. Mm-hmm. So there's really no race conditions with the scheduler and other things. Actually, no, there are, because of other processors.
Yeah.
But we can't use a mutex inside of the scheduler, so we can't lock it. I mean, we can use a processor lock. But
definitely think we should lock it. Because if you're in the middle of removing and then you get a timer interrupt and someone else tries to yield to you.
Slightly tricky. That was good sushi, by the way.
Nice.
I mean, it wasn't good, it was just delicious.
Okay.
So there's really two places we look up TIDs. In the Cast2i and in the scheduler. And both are locked. Both have a processor lock and, you know, the no context switch lock. So in those cases, all we have to worry about is other processors doing stuff at the same time. So what if we lock the add and the remove with a processor lock?
I'm fine with it. The only thing is, if we lock add and remove with the processor lock, when we go to remove, We haven't been through the scheduler yet, so we're not like scheduling locked until we get a processor lock on that remote. We're on that map, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we go to, we get a timer interrupt, which then tries to schedule.
We also have the disabled context switch.
Oh, we also do we disable context switch during any operations.
Yeah.
To the
I'm maps. Tempted to always group those together, but there are cases where you don't want to group them together.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah, in that case, they would be grouped together. So you need a functional lock.
Yeah, that'd be fine for that. Yeah, I'm really okay with it.
Okay. Yeah. Do you replace a bunch of fails with vanishes? Just out of it? No? Because the errors that I've been running into with Simix now, you know, just during debugging, I haven't really started to debug it. Took me a bit of time to get everything up.
I mean, I do have a bunch of vanishes, like in the exception handlers.
In exception handlers, okay, that could.
In the page fault, general protection fault, all the exceptions, except for page fault, all the other exceptions will kill the process, which mm-hmm. includes a vanish.
Yeah, because Simix, when it crashes, is like there's. It's a triple fault handler. You mentioned something like IDT, like 270 or something like that. It's a really high number.
Really?
And I'm like, huh.
Wait, is it...
Maybe 230.
Triple fault? Really?
A triple fault. So...
Yes, it does vanish instead of exception fault. Exception handler. But that's still weird that it would triple fault.
Slightly weird. Oh, something else is, I'm thinking... Quite honestly, our TCB and PCB, the design decisions for those, haven't been locked down.
Mm.
We kind of have code around that, you know, initializes them and changes values. And that feels slightly dangerous.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, it's not so many that I feel like we actually needed, you know, like, initialize TCB thing, but it just scares me. Like right now, PCBs are only created in two places, thread fork and the initial.
Not thread fork, just fork.
TCBs?
Oh, you said PCBs.
Oh, sorry, I meant to say TCB.
Okay.
TCBs are in thread fork and...
And the initial.
The initial, yeah. And PCBs are in fork and the initial.
Right.
And that's probably not going to change.
No.
Okay. That's cool. Das ist cool.
Yeah, change. Triple fault. That's weird. Because, like, there's a bunch of different things that can cause a triple fault. Right?
I mean, the weird thing is that it seems like it's trying to access the index that IDT is using. Is way out of bound. Not way out of bound, but it's like 200 and something. Which is not...
Is
easy.
It 22 something? Wait, is it an IDT? Did it say IDT? Or does it say like LDT or GDT?
IDT.
And does it say general protection fault?
Maybe.
Yeah, that's my code. Prints out general protection fault. That means that someone sent int with the IDT out of range.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
And that IDT is printed in hex.
Is it hex? Oh, that's really out of range then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's... I'm not sure where that's coming from. I think it might be coming from a vanish.
Is it 220?
I think so, yeah.
That's coming from... Is it one of your calls shell? Or one of you set up init? I was getting the exact same thing. Yeah, I was getting it.
Well,
I don't know which one that was from.
I initially got it when I forgot to set up the PCB correctly in the initial setup.
Okay.
So before anything. And Actually, no, it would get it. It was weird. What happened was, so I forgot, I didn't do that correctly, so I didn't set up the queues correctly. Mm-hmm. And I would get into an infinite loop in the memory management, where it would get the PDE, mm-hmm. and then it would check it to see it's valid, it would dereference it, that would cause a page fault.
But
and then it would get into that
infinite
loop. And eventually that would...
Because it tries to dereference a PDE, which the PDE should be in kernel memory, but we don't check. I should check to make sure the PDE is in kernel memory.
Okay.
That's what the problem is there.
I mean, fixing the init things to fix that. Maybe we should make a note of that, just so we don't forget it.
Yeah.
We should, like, record our conversations, you know,
see if, see if we could just put them back later as notes.
We would totally never listen to them.
It's true.
I feel bad for Megan having to listen to us now. Hi, Megan.
Wait, what were you just
saying? Oh, whoa. That guy just did an amazing dive. So the IDE, checking to make sure it's in bounds.
The PDE.
Oh, PDE, sorry. PDE.
Okay. Yeah, I should probably go over page faults with a fine-tuned comb and home memory management. So that we make sure everything is safe. We don't end up in infinite loop like that.
I'm trying to act safe right now. Like, I check stuff. I check a TCB, and then when I get its PCB, I check its PCB.
Yeah.
And then...
We should make a corrupted kernel stack or something like that. Just to, like, check. Because there seems to be, like, common checks, like, check TCB, then the PCB, maybe even throw in a canary or two.
A canary?
A static integer that you put at the beginning of a structure.
Oh.
And at the end of a structure, just to make sure it hasn't been written over.
That's interesting. I've never heard of that. What would you define it to be? Just something really weird that wouldn't come up normally?
Well, that might not come up normally. It would just be a random integer.
Hmm.
Like canaries in a lemon. Or in a... not lemon. In a...
In a yeah. Man, I wish that, is that a hexadecimal where you use base 17? Because then you can spell Gabe. Dead Gabe. Or Gabe Beef. Gabe Beef. That'd be cool. So the, like, 70 pages of Japanese culture reading I did last night turned out to be the wrong reading.
Oh, no.
I mean, it was necessary. It's just, I was reading, like, an article or something for today. So, oh well.
Oops.
It took me 7 hours. I can't read. Anyway, so,
I know if I can't do any of that kind of stuff.
So I have two mutexes and... Wait, no. I added one mutex and one semaphore. And there already was one mutex for the page, for the pages in the PCB.
Yes.
I added a mutex for the queues.
Okay.
You know, for adding those queues. And I added a semaphore, which is signaled on, you know, in vanish. And, yeah. And that seemed to make sense. When I add somebody's, when I read a child.
Mm-hmm.
I add its semaphore to ours.
Okay.
I go through each of their lists and I change each of the children's parent to be us.
Oh, okay.
And then I add them onto our lists.
Okay.
Not in that order, but that's basically what I do.
Yeah.
I mean, first I change their parent.